for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our salvation. Amen. I was born in Gibson City. Who's heard of Gibson City? Thank you. It's a wonderful town in central Illinois that is built around a huge grain elevator. My father's career centered on how many bushels of soybeans would be delivered in September or December or March. I attended the University of Illinois, one of the first land-grant institutions in the country, with an impressive school of agriculture. And for most of my life, I grew up in Illinois and Indiana, down the block from a cornfield. So no doubt you will be surprised to know that I know practically nothing about farming. I mean, I planted seeds in a Dixie cup as a Mother's Day gift in second grade. I milked a cow on a school field trip when I was chaperoning one of Amy's field trips. But I know nothing about agriculture. Now, you're probably not actually all that surprised, since my guess is most of you don't know a whole lot about agriculture either, which makes all these farming references made by Jesus a little bit distant. If Jesus came today, he would probably use parables of online communication, something like maybe Gracebook. Boy, there's a good idea. Or video gaming. Or maybe a GPS device. There's some potential there. But then Jesus uses rural images, farmers and seeds, wheat and weeds, and today the image of a yoke. The yoke, a wooden bar with scoops for the shoulders of animals, of oxen often. And a yoke allows the two oxen to share the burden as they plow a field or as they winch around a well. Whatever it is, a yoke allows them to share the burden. A yoke allows one to rest a little bit while the other carries a little bit more of the load. A yoke makes the burden easier. Most people I know are carrying a burden or two. Most people I know have some kind of struggle, at least at some point in their life. And often it's heartbreaking and life-changing stuff. Sometimes it's right out there for everyone to see. Often it's hidden, unseen to most people. There's that word of advice, I don't know who said it, but it's good advice to be kind to people, for everyone. Everyone is in the middle of some kind of struggle. Relationship struggles, addiction, financial worries, fears for our children, wondering if I'll measure up, fear of failure, the list could go on and on and on. Now, if you read Paul's letter to the Galatians toward the end of it there, he says something very interesting. He says, you know, each of us must carry his own load. Everybody must bear their own burden. We're all responsible for whatever it is that we're carrying. Everybody has to face their own demons, their own trials, their own challenges. No one can do it for you. And yet, just a few verses later in Galatians, we hear a very different word. Paul there tells us that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So right there, within a couple of sentences of each other, Paul says, each one must carry his own burden, and yet we also must carry one another's. None of us who lived through September 11th, 2001 will ever forget it. One of the images that's indelibly marked in my mind is a press conference that same night when reporters were doing their job and trying to pin down Mayor Giuliani as to how many people had died. Give us an idea, an estimate, give us a number, anything. And he silenced the crowd with one of the most eloquent sentences I've ever heard. He said, whatever the number, it will be more than we can bear. Today marks 1 year since we learned something that we already knew deep within our hearts, that when it comes to someone you love, one is more than we can bear. The loss of U.S. Army Ranger Joey Dimmick, our Joey, was felt most powerfully, of course, by his family. It was felt deeply, deeply by his friends, many of them the young men and women who have been in our wildfire group and Troop 672. Felt also by his Sunday school teachers and youth group advisors and friends of his parents and everyone who watched him grow up until the day we blessed him as he went off to join the Army. Felt as well by many who did not know him personally at all, but who here in this gathering claimed him as one of our kids, one of the baptized children we had promised to love and encourage and support, and whom we did love and encourage and support. And I think about Paul there, and I think he's right, because in a very real sense, each person had to bear their own unique experience of loss, depending on particular circumstances, depending on the way each of us grieves, the way we're put together. Each of us bears this burden herself, himself. Nothing could be more true than that. But as is so often the case, the opposite of one profound truth is another profound truth. And so just as each one had to bear their own burden, it's also true that we did then and we continue to bear one another's burdens. We began this journey 1 year ago today, shocked, brokenhearted, and the Dimmick family graciously allowed us to grieve alongside them, opening their home and their hearts to us, allowing us to at least try to bear some small portion of that burden, to carry some tiny corner of that sorrow with them. It reminded me of the rope, the living symbol of our wildfire youth, how at times, and the rope, of course, is a single rope tied in a circle with a knot, a rope that for the past year has had two knots in it, one, of course, being the Joey knot. But how the group will often stand in a circle, and after sharing what's on their hearts and minds, we all hold it tight and we start to lean back until you would fall, except for the fact that you're holding on to that rope, which is also being held up by everyone else, who is also in such a precarious position. Each one's weight suspended and held up by everyone else's. So basically, we're all holding each other up. Last summer, we all tried our best to hold one another up. And when that failed, just to hold on to one another. That's what you all did with food and prayer and cards and conversation and countless deeds, great and small, of compassion and care. We tried to hold each other up, and when that failed, we just held on. Which is why the Ranger chaplain was heard to say last summer, "These people know how to do church." 20 years or more ago, there was a best-selling book written by a rabbi who'd lost a child to a terrible disease. Most people thought that the title was "Why Bad Things Happen to Good People," but the actual title was "When Bad Things Happen to Good People." We can spend a lot of time asking why, and we should. Good theology is important, and bad theology is ruinous. God does not plan these things. Everything does not happen for a reason. This is not part of God's great and wonderful plan. But no explanation of why will ever really satisfy us. And so it's even more important at such a time to talk about what we do when bad things happen. We do church. We bring a meal, we send a note, we offer an embrace, we shed a tear, we hold each other up. And when that isn't enough, we just hold on to each other, even when it hurts, especially when it hurts. You know, Woody Allen says that 80% of life is just showing up. Sometimes that's all you can do. But that really counts. Last summer and since, you folks have showed up. And it makes me think that isn't that what God does? As the Bible unfolds, we realize that God keeps showing up in the lives of his people. God doesn't fix everything. God doesn't heal everyone. God shows up. God loves with concern and compassion and care, and that's what the cross is all about. It's not about fixing everything. It's about love. That's what Jesus being born in Bethlehem is all about. God showing up in a particular time, a particular place, in a particular life. And if God can show up in a particular time, a particular place, a particular life, then just maybe God can show up in your time, in your place, in your life. And so we come again to the one who showed up. Who showed up in Bethlehem, and who has shown up ever since in the lives of his people. We come again to the words of Jesus, which he spoke to disciples centuries ago, and which he now speaks to you and to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In the midst of whatever it is you're dealing with, in the midst of whatever challenge you may be facing, whatever fear is dominating, Christ promises rest for your soul. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Note, Jesus is not saying that our burdens really aren't that heavy. He's not saying that when you come to me, it'll all just go away. He's not minimizing the addiction or the anxiety or the griefs that we bear. Those are all too real, and Jesus knows it and laments it. When Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light, he's talking about the demands, the burden that Jesus brings to this partnership. That Christ doesn't add to the burdens we bring to him. He only helps us carry ours. Just as a weaker animal was often yoked to a stronger animal so that the weaker could learn and be born and carried and helped, so also we are yoked to Christ so that we may learn, so that he may bear some of the burden that we carry. For generations, God's people have tried this promise and found it true. which is what the famous Footprints poem is all about, that in the trying times of our lives, there's only one set of footprints in the sand, and that was when our Lord was carrying us. This is what breath prayers are for, that we say each week. Repeating that same sentence of scripture, that same line, over and over again as we breathe in deeply, as we breathe out, as we make room for the Spirit of Christ to come in and help bear whatever burdens it is we're carrying. In the King James Version of the scripture, which is often the most eloquent version, we find these words in Deuteronomy. The eternal God is our refuge, and beneath us, the everlasting arms. For the truth is that when we are bearing burdens that seem unbearable, that God holds us up, and God holds us fast, and always beneath us are the everlasting arms. One year ago, we learned anew the truth that when it comes to someone you love, one is more than we can bear. But we do not bear this burden alone, for Christ has not only promised to bear it with us, Christ is already at our side, whether we sense his presence or not, bearing our grief, carrying our sorrow, as he promised. And he will go on bearing our burdens. He will go on carrying our griefs until we find rest for our souls, until that day when death will be no more. And there will be no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. That day of glad reunion in the life to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.